My dear friends in Christ, dear sisters, religious, it says in the gospel for today, after our Lord was tempted in the desert, that angels came and ministered to him. And this shows us that Christ, in his humanity, was subject to that weakness. He had fasted and he was hungry, it also tells us. He made himself like to us in all things except sin. And so he was hungry. He needed food. This need for nourishment is an integral part of our nature. We cannot do without food. Without food, rather quickly, we lose our energy. Those of you that have spent these long few days fasting know this well. But if we were to go entirely without food, really the human body cannot last very long before we become completely overwhelmed, lose all energy, and eventually succumb, die. If this is true of our body, this is more true of our soul. And it is for this very reason that before Jesus died, he gave us all the food we would ever need. He gave us his own body and blood. And so it is today I would like to concentrate, to focus for a moment on our great need for our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Hopefully a little bit of a preparation also for next week's beautiful devotion of 40 hours. We can always increase our love and devotion for our Lord in the tabernacle. And as we begin this Lenten season, we need to be keenly aware of the weakness of our own nature and the need that we have for him. There is a beautiful book, and this is called The Sinner's Return to God by Father Michael Mueller. And if you have not read this book, I highly suggest that you pick it up. It, I believe, is available in the gift shop, but The Sinner's Return to God. And Father Mueller uses the parable of the prodigal son. He goes into great detail and analyzes this parable. We know well this parable of our Lord, the young man who demands his inheritance from his father, the younger of two brothers. And he goes into a far country and squanders his wealth. He lives luxuriously, lives badly. And before long, he is destitute, and the great famine comes upon the country where he resides. And he finds himself hungry. Even the husks that he's feeding the pigs start to look good. And he thinks to himself, in my father's house, even the servants live better than this. I know what I will do. I will go back to my father and beg admittance as one of his servants. And we know the rest of the story. He does return, and his father sees him afar off. He meets him halfway. He hugs him and covers him with kisses. He puts his own cloak upon his shoulders and his rings upon his fingers. He kills the fatted calf and throws a great banquet. And the scripture commentators, the spiritual writers, tell us that this banquet that is described by our Lord in this parable is indeed an image, represents the divine banquet the institution of the Most Holy Eucharist. After he had grievously sinned, he rejected his Father. But as soon as it was possible to do so, this Father in the parable showers his wayward son in gifts. This is indeed an image, though we must say a weak image, of the goodness of God. When we look at ourselves and our unworthiness, how many times have we sinned? How many times have we been the prodigal son? We've sinned, and we return begging admittance back into the presence of our good Father by going to confession. And he meets us halfway, and he forgives us, and he gives us all of our gifts back again and again and again. And what is more, he gives us himself as the greatest possible gift. He gives us himself as our food. So, my dear friends, how can we take for granted this inestimable gift? And the temptation may be to think that this is a gift so great and so lofty that how could we ever deserve it? It's not possible for us to be worthy to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. And whereas true, how could we be worthy? But it remains that our dear Lord wants us to receive him. If we are not in the state of mortal sin, which of course we must not be, go to confession as quickly as possible, make a perfect act of contrition. But so long as we are not in the state of serious sin, he wants us to approach the communion rail. And why? Again, not because we are worthy, not because we deserve this gift, but because he is the physician of our soul. We cannot do it without him. We see the weakness of our own nature, how easily we fall back into the same vices. And so we need to receive our Lord. The saints tell us, and the church tells us, that when we receive him in Holy Communion, that we receive an increase of sanctifying grace in our soul. In Father Mueller's book, he goes into great detail explaining the incomprehensible gift that is sanctifying grace. It is the very thing that makes us in the image and likeness of God. St. Thomas Aquinas said that the lowest degree of grace is greater than all of the riches of the entire world. All of the gold, all of the jewels, all of the fine things that we could possibly imagine is nothing compared with the smallest degree of increase in sanctifying grace. St. Teresa of Avila said that every saint would undergo every torment until the end of time to receive an increase of sanctifying grace, just so small. St. Catherine of Siena was gifted with great visions, and it was related that she could see sanctifying grace in a person's soul, and also see the hideousness of a person in mortal sin. She was asked to describe a soul in the state of sanctifying grace. And she said words could not describe the beauty of a soul in the state of grace. She said that that soul shines like the sun. And when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion worthily, we are, yes, receiving an increase of sanctifying grace, but my dear friends, we are receiving the author of grace. If our dispositions are right, we will grow in sanctifying grace in an untold degree. There really is no limit, because again, we receive the author of grace. Second, when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, the saints tell us that it reduces the effect of concupiscence in us. It also puts to flight the devils. The fathers of the church say that as the waters of the river Jordan stood back as the Ark of the Covenant passed through, so do our passions subside and stand back when Christ comes into our body and soul. It is like impenetrable armor. There was a story in the life, of Saint Fernando III of Spain. The Spanish were fighting many a different conquest against the Saracens, who had taken over great parts of Spain. And the Catholic Spanish were taking back their lands. And there was one instance in particular where King Fernando encouraged all of his men before the battle the next day to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, make a good confession, attend Mass, receive our Lord in Holy Communion. And I believe without exception, his men did just this. And it is related, the battle the next day was another battle similar to the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae, though incredibly more exaggerated. If I remember correctly, it was tens of thousands of Muslims against a band of a few hundred Spanish warriors. And it is related that not a single man of the Spanish army lost his life. That they were impervious, it seemed, to the enemy's spears and scimitars. They could not be defeated. It might have been on this occasion or a different occasion, but also Saint Fernando III. It was related of him because he received our Lord as often as possible in Holy Communion, that during one of these battles, the Saracens saw him surrounded in a resplendent light, that the sanctity, the holiness of his soul and the presence of Jesus within him made him look superhuman, and it made these Saracens fly in terror. How could they go against such a man? And so, yes, receiving our Lord in Holy Communion is a spiritual protection against the weakness of our own nature and, again, against the onslaught of the devil. This is a marvelous experience I was graced to have assisting at an exorcism one time. And it is difficult to describe what an exorcism looks like, but it is terrifying. You realize the evil, the hatred of the devils. During an exorcism, it is allowed for the priest to take our Lord in the host before the person possessed. Of course, in order to give great torment to the demon, to force that demon to leave, to exit the body of the poor person possessed. Well, Father did just this, took our Lord out of the tabernacle. And instantly, whereas before this demon was bold and brash and bragging, trying to put everyone ill at ease, the moment our Lord in the Holy Eucharist was present, its entire demeanor changed. In fact, tried to get away, was shrinking and cowering in fear. Another prescription of the Roman ritual in exorcism is that the priest may use a given formula to force the demon to do something. And particularly to tell the truth. When this formula is used, the demon either may not speak at all or must tell the truth. Father used this formula. Demon, tell me the truth. Who am I holding? And the demon cowered away, gritted its teeth in fear. Several more times, Father said the same thing. Demon, I abjure you by the merits of Jesus crucified. Gave this formula. Tell me the truth. Who am I holding? And finally, as if it were forced, the demon through clenched teeth said, Jesus. Was the last thing in this world that that demon wanted to say. But he was forced to realize, forced to admit who it is in the host, who it is who conquers the demons ultimately. So, my dear friends, we cannot appreciate enough the gift that we have in the Holy Eucharist. But let us not take lightly two things. Yes, the dispositions we ought to have. We should not receive our Lord without thought. We have to carefully prepare ourselves for so incredible an occasion. And on the other side, second, we must try to receive our Lord often. Again, he is the physician of our soul. It is because we need him that we should receive often, not because he needs us. But he wants us to be with him. St. Francis de Sales would say, "Who can pity the Catholic who dies in sin? This is like a man starving to death at a splendid banquet." We must truly love death to die in the power of the devil. We have only to listen to our dear Savior. "Take and eat." Let us be resolved this Lent, determined to frequently and fervently receive our Lord. Make good confessions. Receive him often and well. Think about what it is that we are doing, how the angels stand in awe. They adore our Lord present within us. Let us think about that. Today, as we receive our Lord, we go back to our pew. What is it that we have just done? Let our hearts overflow with gratitude. As the prodigal children, seeing the generosity of their Father, let us be ever so grateful that Jesus has given us himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.